Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 919 for the September 2017 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy. Everyone is encouraged to send in clips so you can share the love of comics that you've got with other people and help them find comics they'll enjoy. There are thousands of items and previews every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, work our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, those highlights are determined by the clips I get. Open submission policy, anyone can send in clips. So if you think there's something coming up in a previews catalog that other people should know about, please spend a few minutes, take out your smartphone, record a clip, email it to me. We'll include it in the next preview spotlight. It's really not that hard to do. It's a great way to support the comics, the publishers and creators that you love, and help other people find comics that they'll enjoy. So with that, let's get going.
Konbanwa, this is Alan, Alien Al on the forums, with my first pick in this month's preview spotlight. My first pick is from the Dark Horse section. The title is Rasputin, The Voice of the Dragon, number 1 of 5. The writers are Mike Mignola and Chris Robertson. Artist is Christopher Minton. Colorist is Dave Stewart. A conspiracy involving the Third Reich and a dead member of a sinister secret society sets Professor Broom on his first mission to find the man who'd soon bring Hellboy to Earth. The mad Russian sorcerer Rasputin had been thought dead since 1916. When a group of noblemen sought to end his influence over the Tsar. Now, Rasputin works with the most twisted members of Hitler's inner circle, and he's about to cross paths with the man who will go on to found the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense. I've been following Hellboy since probably before the movies came out, at least a few months before I got the trade paperbacks of his first adventures. And so Rasputin is a well-known character in the Hellboy universe. And so I'm looking forward to more detailed story information on him. That's all for my first pick. On to the next pick. Thank you.
Hi, it's Drew from the Weekly Comic Spotlight and my very own Comics for Fun and Profit, coming to you from the beautiful Hocking Hills of Ohio. And with my first pick from Dark Horse, it is Jenny Finn, number 1. This is a Mike Mignola and Troy Nixie creative venture. This, I guess, was previously released in black and white and has now been colored for the first time by Dave Stewart. This is a regard, I've never heard of it, so I'm kind of curious. I like some of Mike Mignola's work, so I'm going to check this out. It's about London's dockside being threatened by the twin terrors of a plague that leaves bodies covered in tentacles and a slasher killing women in the night, all of which began after the arrival of a strange young girl who was followed by whispers of doom wherever she goes. This is going to be out on November 15th with a $3.99 price tag. That sounds kind of noirish, creepy, Jack the Ripper-esque, I guess. So I'm going to check this out. Mike Mignola does some cool stuff. And so I'm going to give it a shot, and having missed it the first time around. So now it's in full color, and hopefully that even adds to it. Please check that out in the Dark Horse section of previews.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and a go-by Superman fan on the forums, and my first pick in this month's previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 53 with Sherlock Frankenstein and the Legion of Evil from the World of Black Hammer, number 2 of 4. I realize there are about 3 or 4 other contributors sending clips about this issue, but I couldn't help myself. I had to join my voice to the chorus picking this particular issue because I enjoy alternate takes on superheroes like Invincible, Astro City, and Black Hammer, because unlike Marvel and DC, they're not trying to market these characters for other media like TV, movies, video games, and other media, so they can explore the superhero genre in ways the big two really can't. And I'm really enjoying Black Hammer, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how this issue kind of fleshes out the backstory to Spiral City and the heroes in Black Hammer. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My second pick in this month's previews is still in the Dark Horse section on page 61 with Usagi Yojimbo number 163. Stan Sakai, writer, cover, and story artist. On sale November 1st, black and white, 28 pages for $3.99. Nozomi the thief has been at large for too long, robbing the rich and sharing with the poor, thereby winning the love of the townsfolk. However, Nozomi suddenly finds himself in the need of Ishida and Usagi when the leader of the town marks him for death and the master thief becomes the victim of injustice. Part 1 of 3. A great jumping on point. While I would say any issue of Usagi Yojimbo is a great jumping on point, sadly, I've not been reading this since the first issue. I've only been on board since Stan Sakai came back to Usagi Yojimbo after taking a break for the Usagi Yojimbo Senso miniseries and the 47 Ronin miniseries he did earlier for Dark Horse. And after I picked up one of their dollar first issues of Usagi Yojimbo, I can't imagine why I waited so long. Also available are Usagi Yojimbo Saga Volumes 2 through 6 and the collected edition of the miniseries Usagi Yojimbo Senso. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, it's Chris Brawlinator Brawley back with my previews highlights this month, and my first pick has really got me interested in what's going on at DC Comics these days. It's over on page 77. The solicit simply reads, DC Comics presents to you a 12-issue maxi-series from the critically acclaimed team of writer Jeff Johns, artist Gary Frank, and colorist Brad Anderson. You are not prepared for what lies ahead within these pages, good readers. Now, from the cover, you may be tricked into thinking this is possibly just a story about Superman confronting Dr. Manhattan, but that's not the only major encounter between a DC hero and a Watchmen character that's taking place in this upcoming maxi series. Doomsday Clock will also unite Batman and Rorschach. I just saw on IGN where DC has revealed a new Doomsday Clock teaser showing the Dark Knight reading an iconic page from Rorschach's journal. If you're familiar with the character, he was killed at the end of Watchmen, but his journal remained as the only record of the truth behind Oz's actions. But with an unmasked Rorschach seemingly appearing on one of the covers to Doomsday Clock number 1, it's not impossible that he'll be making his return. I think this is going to turn out to be a very big deal. Check it out if you're interested. It's Doomsday Clock number 1, found on page 77 of this month's previews.
This is Dr. Mo with my first pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Doomsday Clock number 1 from DC Comics. Doomsday Clock is written by Jeff Johns and illustrated by Gary Frank. Fans of the DC universe are eagerly anticipating this next giant piece of the DC meta story arc. This is Jeff Johns' first comic book work since he wrote DC Universe Rebirth number 1 that was published last year. This title is being really hyped because it is supposed to answer many questions such as how does Dr. Manhattan and possibly the other Watchmen fit into the events of the DC Universe. I love the creative team that's going to be on this book. Jeff Johns, Gary Frank did an extraordinary run on Action Comics during the 2000s. It brought back many concepts such as the Legion of Superheroes, Brainiac 5. So they did a lot of playing around with DC Universe concepts during their run on Action Comics. I know at this time, Geoff Johns is about pushing the DC Universe forward, about honoring DC's legacy. I think Doomsday Clock will deliver on that promise. At least I really hope it will. This is a 12-issue maxi series, so buckle up, kids. We're going to be getting this until sometime next year. The first issue of Doomsday Clock costs $5.99. It can be found on page 77 of the Previews Spotlight.
My first pick of the month is also Doomsday Clock number 1. I don't think there's much more for me to say that Brawlinator and Mo haven't already said, other than echoing it's going to be probably a big deal and kind of an event series for DC, so if you're into the meta arc like I am, definitely worth checking out. Whether it's good or bad, it's going to be highly discussed, I would imagine. So, should be fun. I think it's worth checking out. So once again, that's Doomsday Clock number 1 on page 77. My next pick is on page 80, and it's Hawkman Found number 1. Now, my gut feeling is Hawkman's going to be of increased importance moving forward. A lot of what's going on with the metal series and whatnot, and the nth metal aspect of it, all seems to be circling around Hawkman and stuff. So I'm expecting this one shot to kind of reset a status quo or bring Hawkman kind of back into the fold and make him an active player in the DC Universe again. And I'm expecting at some point, whether it's at the end of Metal, whether it's the end of Doomsday Clock, at some point in the not too distant future, Hawkman's going to be presumably a major player. So this is a good spot to check out where they're going with the character, what they're planning on doing. And again, I'm guessing he's going to be a major player, but that sure seems to be the direction they're going. So I recommend checking out Hawkman Found number 1 on page 80 of the Previews catalog.
Hey guys, it's Heidi from Cosmic Times. All right, so I'm looking at the Previews catalog. I'm on page 81, and what I'm looking at is Batman and the Signal number 1. I know it ties in with the Dark Knight's Metal and that series. But this one, I love the art. I think the storyline looks great. And I'm excited to see a team during the day that's going to go ahead and help Batman defeat these new villains that are coming out. So that's exciting. It's written by Scott Snyder and Tony Patrick. The art is Cully Hamner. Cully Hamner, great job on the art. Love it. And yeah, so it's $3.99 and it looks great. Check it out.
This is Dr. Moe with my next pick for the Previews Spotlight episode. It's Batman and the Signal number 1 from DC Comics. Batman may own the night, but with new villains emerging during the day, he needs an ally to defend the city when he can't. Only one teen is up to the challenge, Duke Thomas. After months of training, he's ready to step out of the shadow of the Bat to become his own kind of hero. Meet Gotham City's newest protector, the Signal. Spinning out of adventures and All-Star Batman and We Are Robin, comic superstar Scott Snyder and newcomer Tony Patrick take our hero to new heights in this exciting miniseries with artwork by Cully Hamner. I'm really excited that Duke Thomas is finally getting his own series. This character has been around since Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's legendary run on Batman. I recommend that if you're interested in picking up this series, that you get your hands on Dark Days the Forge, Dark Days the Casting. There's some critical information about Duke that is shared in those two one-shots. I think this is a pretty solid creative team. Tony Patrick is an unknown, but from what I've gathered in various interviews, he was part of Scott Snyder's Writer's Workshop program that DC has. So hopefully this will be the start of a great and promising comic book career. Cully Hamner is an industry veteran who's been around for a number of years. He worked on Red with Warren Ellis. He worked on the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, the first ongoing series. And I believe Cully Hamner is one of the character's co-creators. I think this title will look great. I'm interested in seeing how a new type of Gotham City Protector operates during the day. Hopefully this miniseries will be the start of some great things for Duke Thomas. If you are a fan of Duke Thomas, I suggest that you support this book. Hopefully, if the sales are strong enough, it'll lead to more titles starring this character. Batman and the Signal number 1 can be found on page 81 of the preview spotlight and costs $3.99. Now, please note, this is a 3-part miniseries.
My next pick is on page 81. It's Batman and the Signal number 1. Heidi and Mo have already talked about this. There's not a whole lot for me to add, other than it's not all that often we get what appears to be kind of the official unveiling of the costume identity of a new ongoing member of the Batman family. I mean, it's been a little while since we've gotten the Damian Robin, the Tim Drake Robin, the Jason Todd Robin, the long time since we got the Dick Grayson Robin, or even Dick Grayson as Nightwing, or even one of the Robins as Red Robin, or, you know, all the different Red Hood and different identities they've had. So for Duke Thomas to become the Signal, I see as kind of sort of a big deal. I'm curious how well it plays out, what twist they're going to have on this character to differentiate him from all of the different Robins, Red Hood, Nightwing, the different Batgirls, including, you know, Spoiler, Orphan, who is also going by Black Bat, the various Huntresses, Batwing, Batwoman, Azrael. I mean, there's plenty of other characters in the Batman family, so to get another one, I'm curious where they're going with this. It should be a lot of fun. I like what they've done with the Duke Thomas character in We Are Robin and elsewhere, and I want to see how they kick him off into a new direction and if he's going to be sidekick or potential solo hero after this. So once again, I think it's worth checking out Batman and the Signal number 1 on page 81 of the previews catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick comes from the DC Comics section on page 84 with Action Comics number 992. Written by Dan Jurgens, art by Steve Pugh, cover by Francis Manapul, variant cover by Neil Edwards. After Effects. Crippled by the events of the Oz Effect, Superman struggles to regain a sense of hope for humanity. As a strange new threat brews in the background, a faithless son of both Krypton and Earth must make a choice. Stay and fight for his adoptive homeworld, or answer a call from the stars. On sale November 22nd, 32 pages from $2.99. Rebirth has really stoked my enthusiasm for the Superman titles in a way that hasn't been that way since before the New 52. DC Comics has found ways to challenge the Man of Steel without tearing him down as they did the New 52 Superman. So I'm looking forward to this latest issue. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair in Hawaii with my pick from the DC section on page 87. It's Batman Annual number 2, written by Tom King, art and cover by Lee Weeks. Yes, this is the team up that did the Batman Elmer Fudd one-shot a couple months ago. The reason why I'm picking this annual up is because of Lee Weeks' artwork. You know, I love his art style, so, you know, that's why I'm picking it up. I already got this here on my pull list at Dragon's Lair. So, again, if you guys get a chance, pick up Batman Annual number 2. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair in Hawaii with my pick from the DC section on page 97. It's Justice League of America Annual number 1, written by Steve Orlando, art and cover by Kelly Jones. Now, that's all you have to say for me. Legendary artist Kelly Jones is drawing this Justice League annual, so that's why I'm going to be picking this up. I've already got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Justice League of America Annual number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth and fifth picks this time come in the DC Comics section. on page 102 with Superman number 34 and 35, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, art by Doug Monkey and Jamie Mendoza, covers by Patrick Gleason, issue number 34 Justice League variant cover by Renato Guidez, and issue 35 variant cover by Jorge Jimenez. Imperious Lex finale. Votes begin to be cast in Kryptonian blood as Apocalypse hordes of hellish residents choose a new leader to occupy Darkseid's throne. The Man of Steel finds himself caught in a violent democratic battle with Lex Luthor leading the race for godhood. Last wish. Surrounded by his family, Superman has much to be thankful for, but not everyone is as fortunate. See the Man of Steel grant the wishes of some sick children for the holidays. During the post-Crisis of Infinite Earths Superman, I liked some of those Christmas stories. They hit home the meaning of the holiday without beating it over your head and coming up with some very personal stories. So I'm looking forward to this holiday issue. I really like what DC is doing with the Man of Steel. What they've added now that they haven't before, except in imaginary stories from the 1960s, is casting Superman as a father, not just of a normal kid, but someone with superpowers. So he's both superhero and he's got to fill the shoes of Jonathan Kent, like father, like son, having to teach a superhero child the right way to use his powers. Back to you, John.
Hey, it's Brawlinator again, and if it's a little lighthearted fun you're looking for, I think it can be found in my next pick from DC. It's over on page 103, and it's from the creative team of Peter J. Tomasi and Paul Pelletier, with a cover by Jorge Jimenez. It's the Super Sons Annual number 1, and the story is Super Pets Unleashed. The world's furriest team, Crypto and Titus, together at last. Tired of the boys stealing the spotlight, the doggy duo lead the Super Sons on a canine-powered epic. Now, who doesn't like the DC pets? Maybe we'll get a cameo from Ace the Bat Hound. I expect this one will be played strictly for laughs, as an annual featuring the Super Sons probably should be. Take a look for yourself. The solicit is over on page 103 of this month's previews.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section on page 109. It's Batman Creature of the Night number 1, written by Kurt Busiek, art and cover by John Paul Leon. Now the solicit reads, young Bruce Wainwright lost his parents in a violent crime, and in the real world, no superheroes exist to save the day. But as grief and rage builds inside Bruce until he feels he can't keep it inside anymore, something strange starts taking wing in the Gotham Knight. Perhaps Bruce's grief isn't inside him after all. Modern masters Kurt Busiek, John Paul Leon, unite for a spiritual companion to the beloved Superman's secret identity, putting a new spin you've never seen before on the legend of Batman and the dark emotions that drive him. Now, you know, this looks like a different take on Batman in this four-part miniseries. You know, I like these types of stories. You know, this is where they put a little different spin on a character, you know, that adds a little different flavor, you know, to the characters we love. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Batman Creature of the Night number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, this is Nathan, or ND Horse on the Forum, here with my previews pick of the month. What I'm excited to get this month is a new series coming out from DC, Demon, Hell is Earth, number 1. It's going to be a mini-series, not sure how many issues, but I'm excited for this because I've always been a big Demon fan ever since I found out about the Demon back in the early 90s when Garth Ennis and John McCrea were doing that series. Most of you people probably know is that Demon is a Kirby creation from the 70s. Very different from a lot of his other sci-fi or fourth world kind of stuff that he was doing before. It was a straight up horror comic. And it's interesting how the Demon has changed over the years. The Demon's biggest shtick these days is, you know, he's the rhyming demon. But I've actually been rereading a lot of the early Demon stuff right now and the Kirby Demon stuff, and the rhyming is not even in there at all. I'm not sure where that came in. Might have been maybe Matt Wagner or something later on. But anyway, I really dig the Demon. This one is going to be written by Andrew Constant. He's done a variety of indie stuff, nothing I've read. But then also the art is by Brad Walker and Andrew Hennessy. I know Brad Walker's been around a little bit in the DC world, doing some Green Lantern stuff, some Superman stuff here and there, a little bit of Batman stuff. I like his artwork. It looks pretty interesting. One of the other things that gets me really excited about this is that a few months ago, I bought my first piece of original art, and it was some Demon art by John McCrea from Demon 56 from back in the early 90s. I just love the artwork, and Demon is just an amazing looking character with, you know, the fire and the fangs and the horns. It looks really amazing. So I'm very excited for this. It comes out on November 15th with a suggested retail price of $2.99, and I hope you guys all pick it up. Thanks.
Aloha guys, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at the amazing Hawaii Comic Con, and my pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section. It's Harley Quinn, the Care For What You Wish For number one special. It's written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. And you know what? I'm here with a special guest, Chad Harden.
Aloha, how we doing?
Hey, aloha Chad. Thank you very much for doing this. The thing is, you know, what was the one great thing that you liked doing this one special for the Loot Crate?
You know, what I liked about it is the story that I got to illustrate played back to Harley's origin with Mad Love. And it was like a retelling of the Mad Love story, just done with a sort of a nice Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if the Joker wasn't like this jerky guy? What if he was the ultimate, like, sensitive boyfriend?
Uh-huh.
And so I got to recreate a lot of those scenes, and it was actually really, really fun to do. But I mean, Jimmy and Amanda stuff's always fun to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Do you have one particular scene that sticks out?
There's the one where she's talking with Joker, and in Mad Love, Joker gets angry and he kicks Harley out.
Yes, I remember, yeah.
And in this one, he just, you know, he's too sensitive, so he starts bawling like a baby, and Harley kicks him. And so, that was a nice juxtaposition there. So,
I'm going to start wrapping this up. You know, how's Hawaii treating you?
You know what? I love the islands. Everyone here is just excellent people. I'm always amazed at people's generosity, kindness, and just I always think, oh, they're gonna get sick of me, and then I got to have me back.
No.
But every year I come back, and it's just like a great response, and people always stop by and say hi, and it's fantastic here. So.
Are you enjoying the convention so far?
Oh yeah, I love the amazing shows. They really are the best comic shows out there right now.
Now, if Jimmy, one of the co-organizers, asked you to come back to Hawaii, will you come back?
I hope so. And I have a lot of exciting stuff happening this year. I'm doing my own creator-owned book.
Oh, okay.
We're going to kickstart that in March.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully it would be really nice if you know, I got to come next time and promote my own book.
Mm-hmm.
So cross your fingers and knock on wood.
Yes. All right. And then where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Facebook, Chad Harden. Instagram, Harden Art, and then I think my Twitter is also Harden Art. So.
And do you have another convention appearance after this one?
Oh, I have plenty. I'm taking off from sunny Hawaii and flying to the frozen north of Toronto.
Oh, man. I've been to Toronto. It's nice. Oh, God.
Yeah, it'll be my first time, so I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys are in Toronto or at a convention, please stop by Chad Harden's booth. Just talk to him. He's a really cool guy. You know, Chad, thank you very much for doing this for the Comic Book Caves podcast. Thank you very much, Chad.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, guys. Aloha.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Mystic You, number one from DC Comics. Leave the world of the mundane behind and step through the magical doors of Mystic You. After a tragic accident, young Zatanna Zatara, under the guidance of Rose Psychic, enrolls in a mysterious university that teaches its students how to master their unique brands of magic.
Will Zatanna fit in with her new classmates, Enchantress, Sargon the Sorcerer, Faust, and more, and unlock her true potential? Find out in this exciting bi-monthly mini-series. I have been looking forward to Mystic U since I first heard about this project during the DCU era. As a big Harry Potter fan, I've always thought that there was a lot of potential in some sort of Magic Academy, Hogwarts type setup within the DC universe. I think having Zatanna as the lead is a great way to get people to pick up this book. There are a lot of Zatanna fans out there. We don't often see her. We could use a lot more Zatanna titles. The creative team behind this is Elisa Whitney, who I believe is who has written some Vertigo titles. She was attached to the original iteration of Mystic U during the DCU era. The pencils are by industry veteran Mike Norton. He does the web series Battle Pug. Mike Norton's been around for a long time. He's a good draftsman. I think he will do this material justice. What I like about this is, even though it is a $5.99 book, it is bi-monthly. So we will have an opportunity to kind of spread the money around, as it were, with relates to paying for this title. So if you're put off by the price tag, keep in mind that this is a bi-monthly title. It is 48 pages. Again, if you're looking for a Zatanna fix, I suggest you pick up Mystic U, which can be found on page 113 of Previews.
My next pick is on page 113, and it is Mystic U, number one. Mo's already talked about this. This is essentially a DC version of Hogwarts, I guess. It's set presumably a little in the past because we're dealing with a young Zatanna, and of course she's not so young these days. Hopefully this dovetails with what we've been seeing of her and her backstory in like some recent Batman comics. I forget if it was Batman Detective or All-Star Batman, whichever title it was in. And that it's kind of in continuity with that and what's going on maybe with... I don't know if Hellblazer will show up in this or not. He'd be kind of the bad boy who got thrown out, I would imagine. Either way, looks like it could be a fun both coming-of-age story and good backstory for a lot of characters, not just Zatanna, but also Enchantress, Sargon, Faust, and some others. Maybe even Tim Hunter. Other kind of mystical Vertigo characters. Should be a lot of fun. Not familiar with this writer, but I am familiar with Mike Norton's art. It is terrific. Highly recommended on those grounds alone. Should be a really fun series. It's a 3-issue miniseries. If it goes well, maybe they'll do more after that. Don't know. Either way, I think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's Mystic U number 1 on page 113.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section on page 114. It's Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica number 2, written by Paul Dini and Mark Andreyko, art by Laura Braga. Now, the solicit reads, wait a minute, wait, I thought DC was doing the crossovers with the Looney Tunes. Now they're doing crossovers with the Archie comics? This is crazy. I mean, what's going to happen next? Captain Pureheart and Superman? Or the Archies crossover to the Image comics like Jughead and The Walking Dead, or Betty and Veronica on that Image planet, or Archie crossing over into the Marvel universe where he meets the, oh, wait a minute. No, they did that back in the early 90s or something like that. So I'm just having a little fun, guys. But seriously, I'm going to be picking up this mini series. You know, I just want to see how Paul Dini and Mark Andreyko, you know, write Betty and Veronica teaming up with Harley and Ivy. You know, this looks like a lot of fun, you know. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica number 2. Matter of fact, you know, if you guys get a chance, I mean, pick up this this mini series. So thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Bro,
Brawlinator again, and my next pick from DC looks very interesting. It's the New Talent Showcase 2017 number 1, and it's on page 119. A little over 1 year ago, DC launched their Talent Development Department. The goal was to find, instruct, and nurture new and current DC talent. DC Now has run two of these successful workshops, one for writers, which was led by Scott Snyder, and one for artists, which was led by both Klaus Janssen and Jim Lee. This year's showcase represents the work of writers from DC Writers Workshop Pilot Program, which was a 13-week program held January through March of 2016 for professionals from an array of writing backgrounds who were brand new to DC. The stories you'll get to see in New Talent Showcase number 1 are just a glimpse of what they created during that workshop, and they represent the various strengths seen when these creators were asked to join DC. The solicit reads, in this new one-shot, Wonder Woman unleashes her true god of war against a parade of monsters. Superman discovers a new threat that might be bigger and badder than the Joker himself. Hawk Girl solves crimes in the weird weapons unit for the Gotham City Police Department. And Carol Ferris and Kyle Rayner fight about ice cream in space. You'll find all of this and so much more in New Talent Showcase number 1, where recent graduate writers from the DC Talent Development Workshop showcase some of their strongest work yet. Can Scott Snyder shepherd in talent as good as he is? Well, check it out for yourself in the New Talent Showcase 2017 on page 119 of this month's previews.
This is Tarkasel from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the DC section on page 120, and it's Wonder Woman Conan number 3, written by Gail Simone, art by Aaron Lepestri and Matt Ryan, cover Derek Robertson with a variant by Aaron Lepestri. Conan saved the island princess he's chained to, but even as Diana's memories start to return, their situation grows ever more dire, for they learn the Corvidae are meddling in their fates, hoping to provoke a battle. And what these witches want, they are determined to get. Co-published with Dark Horse Comics. This is issue 3 of a 6-issue miniseries. $3.99, 32 pages, DC and Dark Horse. Okay, first reason why this interests me is Gail Simone is really one of my favorite writers today. She's got a good sense of humor. She's got a good sense of drama. I like Gail Simone as a writer. I don't see her that much. Probably don't follow everything that she's been writing. I know she did a run on Red Sonja, which I didn't read. But, you know, it's Wonder Woman and Conan. I think she can do a good job on that. Another reason, Conan. I am about to embark on a Conan, not a reread, because I never read them, a massive Conan read. Way back in the day when Conan number 1 came out for Marvel, I bought it as a kid. I bought number 2. I bought number 3. It didn't toot my horn, and I traded them to my friend for some of his superhero comics. And I never really read Conan. So yeah, I've read Conan stories on and off. But I never collected the Conan series when it was a big, big deal back in the 70s. I didn't get Savage Sword of Conan. That would intrigue me. Black and white, the black and white comic magazines always intrigue me. So over the past number of years, going to conventions and buying cheap on eBay and what have you, I have been collecting all of the Marvel Conan in trade paperback. I've been getting those Dark Horse reprints, and I think the last volume, collecting every single issue of that original Conan series, I think that last volume is on its way, unless I've already received it. Same thing with Savage Sword of Conan. I think they've all come out in the foam book black and white packaging, and I think I've got all that too. Yeah, I'm crazy. Gosh, I don't know if I'll even be able to make it through all of it. But I'm just intrigued by what the Conan burst of the 70s was really all about. And I'm going to read them. So why the heck wouldn't I also get the Wonder Woman Conan miniseries? Yes, I'm crazy.
Hello, this is Alien Al in Japan with my next pick in this month's previews. It's in the DC section, this time on page 121. It's called Wildstorm, Michael Cray, number 2. Written by Brian Hill, from a story by Warren Ellis. Art by N. Steve Harris and Dexter Vines. Cover by Danny Cowan and Bill Sienkiewicz. Michael Cray hunts Oliver Queen by making himself the prey. Stripped of his weapons and newly formed team, Cray becomes the most dangerous game in Queen's Manufactured Island, where the only law is survival. Queen has mastered his domain in the art of hunting men. Michael hasn't mastered the tumor in his brain, and neither man is prepared for the extremity of the other. But only one will survive. The first spin-off series of Warren Ellis' hit reimagining of the Wildstorm continues in Michael Cray number 2. On sale November 8th, 32 pages, full color, $3.99. I have been reading Wildstorm, and I'm pretty much caught up. The Wildstorm. And it's one of those few books that I'm always encouraged to start again and read from number one so I can see how things happen. Because I always suspect that something happened that I'm not noticing, or something happened to the characters that they didn't notice. Because basically you have three factions that are fighting each other. And so it's interesting to see the events unfold. So I'm looking forward to some more details on Michael Cray, as he's been in the almost all of the first few issues of The Wildstorm. All right, that's all for this pick. On to the next pick. Thank you.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It is The Wildstorm number 9 from DC Comics. Angie Spica is given access to Jacob Marlowe's secret lab and discovers a treasure trove of technologies and sciences, strange, ancient, and alien. In this underground hold, she begins the process of fixing herself and perhaps even evolving herself. In another hidden room, Jackie King and her team at IO begin planning a covert cyber war attack against Skywatch, something even her own boss doesn't know she's doing. The Wildstorm is writer Warren Ellis's reimagining of the Wildstorm properties that originated at Image Comics. For the Wildstorm universe, this is their 25th anniversary. I think Warren Ellis is doing a fine job of honoring what has happened in those series before, but taking this in a totally bold and different direction. Back in the 90s, Warren Ellis revamped one of the key Wildstorm properties, Stormwatch, and which eventually led to the Authority. I think he's working his way towards something really special in this series. It's a slow burn. However, I feel like each issue is a complete picture of some character. I think we get a key piece of information, and I believe it moves the plot along. But again, this is a slow burn. However, if you are a fan of the Wildstorm universe and the various characters, there's enough Easter eggs in each issue that you will be really, really giddy. The artwork is provided by John Davis Hunt, who is the ongoing artist for this series. Davis Hunt is doing a really good job. He evokes a bit of Frank Quietly. I recommended this book because of my love of the Wildstorm universe. Hopefully, other individuals who may have forgotten or are fans of Warren Ellis will jump on this book. I think it's a really good title. However, I don't think issue 9 is probably may not be the best place to start. Probably pick up the first trade or the second arc that began a few issues ago. The Wildstorm number 9. Is priced at $3.99 and can be found on page 121 of Previews.
Brawlinator again. I'm on page 123 in the DC section of Previews. Meet George Jetson, a family man living an analog life in a digital world. His wife, Jane, is a brilliant NASA scientist working off-world at a conference. His daughter, Judy, is a social butterfly trying to discover her calling, and his boy, Elroy, is either doing homework or using robotic technology to break the rules. Strangest of all, George's mother has downloaded herself into Rosie the Robot. Join this postmodern family as Doom rockets towards them from the outer reaches of the galaxy on a crash course of destruction. Well, what more do you need to know? The original Jetsons was a primetime animated sitcom that was produced by Hanna-Barbera that originally aired on Sunday nights on ABC from September 23, 1962 to March 3, 1963, with only 24 episodes. Further, new episodes were produced sometime in the mid-80s. It was Hanna-Barbera's space-age counterpart to the Flintstones, and now 55 years later, this six-issue miniseries reboot is being written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor with art by Pierre Brito. If you picked up the Booster Gold in the Flintstones annual back in April, you caught a preview of what this title is going to be like. If not, and you're still interested, check out the solicit yourself on page 123 of this month's previews. It's the Jetsons number one.
My next pick is on page 124, and it's Future Quest Presents number 4 from DC Comics. This is part of their Hanna-Barbera line, and this is primarily featuring Space Ghost as the anchor character, but we get to see the origin of the new version of the Galaxy Trio, which I always found as an enjoyable cartoon back in the day. I'm looking forward to how they treat those characters in this new version of the Hanna-Barbera superhero sci-fi world. I'm hoping they eventually make that an official part of the multiverse, but we'll see if they do that or not. Either way, it should be a lot of fun. If you liked Future Quest, this is a series worth checking out. They're focusing on fewer characters, more kind of done in one, done in two, you know, shorter stories and stuff versus the 12-issue arc that Future Quest had. And again, being anchored by Space Ghost. A lot of fun. We've got Jeff Parker writing it. We've got Ron Randall on the art, so really solid creative team. I think it's worth checking out. Once again, Future Quest Presents number 4 on page 124.
Over on page 132 is my next pick. It's DC Universe by John Byrne, a new hardcover that will collect a lot of uncollected material. During the 80s, John Byrne revolutionized the comics industry with his genre-defining reboot of Superman in the Man of Steel series, as well as his work with the Amazon Warrior in Wonder Woman. However, it was his work as a writer and artist on the other heroes and villains in the DC Universe that solidified his place as one of the legends at DC. With takes featuring Batman, Green Lantern, the Atom, and Hawkman, John Byrne's stories are some of the greatest DC stories ever told. I'm a huge fan of John Byrne. I loved his artwork, especially during this era. And this $39.99 hardcover will contain the following: Untold Legend of Batman number 1, New Teen Titans Annual number 2, Outsiders number 11, Green Lantern Annual 3, Secret Origins Annual number 1, World of Smallville 1 through 4, Superman Annual 2, World of Metropolis 1 through 4, Power of the Atom 6, Christmas with the Superheroes 2, Green Lantern Ganthet's Tale number 1, The Flash 80 Page Giant number 1, Batman Gotham Knights number 2, DC Comics Presents Hawkman number 1, DCU Brave New World number 1, and the DCU Infinite Holiday Special number 1. It's half price at DCBS, so check it out for yourself on page 132. Two of this month's previews catalog. It's a must-have for all John Byrne fans. Brawlinator again, and wow, my sixth and final pick in DC Comics this month is an omnibus of one of Jack Kirby's greatest epics of the 70s. Commandy is finally being collected at last in a single hardcover volume. These are the stories that introduce the post-apocalyptic world of the Great Disaster and Commandy, the last boy on Earth, along with his friends Prince Tufton, Dr. Canis, Flower, Ben Boxer, and more. His hardcover will collect Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, issues 1 through 40, which completes Jack Kirby's full run on this fantastic and imaginative character. Kirby wrote and drew Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, for DC Comics for about 3.5 years, from around late to mid-72 to late 75, which was a good long run for 70s comic books. The book was quite popular back then, but these days it seems to be more of a memento for devoted comic book fans. DC has attempted some fitful revivals since then, and they're currently going back to the well again with the Commandy Challenge, but the post-Kirby revamps have never really taken off. I think that's because Commandy is really a Kirby comic, built on his mystique, which made it very special. Now his full run is collected in this single volume, and if you'd like to add it to your library, check out the solicit on page 134 of this month's previews.
Billy Hogan again. My sixth pick, this time comes in the Vertigo part of the DC section on page 140 with Astro City number 49, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, cover by Alex Ross. The story of Resistor, who's making headlines all across the nation, and one reporter is determined to find out the truth, not simply to report it, but to find her missing father. A story of protest and power, love and loss, and an enigmatic, ever-changing hero. On sale November 15th, 32 pages, full color, $3.99. This issue seems to hit home on a lot of levels with current events, with a lot of the protests going on around the country, which will probably add another layer to an always enjoyable series. In every issue of Astro City, the creative team always have succeeded in giving you a window to a world where superheroes exist and normal people have to adjust their lives to that fact. And with every hero that is the focus of a story in this series, in just a few short pages, even if they've never appeared in a previous issue of Astro City, in just a short number of pages, we're introduced to the character, we become familiar with the character, and it hints at a wider world involving this person, and it makes me want to read more about this character. Each hero I come across in a Astro City story, I'd say, I'd love to read a whole series about just this character. And I say that with every hero and a few villains that Kurt Busiek and the art team introduce to us each month. On the next page, we have two collections of Astro City stories. One is called Astro City Reflections, and the other is Astro City Ordinary Heroes. Back to you, John.
It's Drew with my next pick, and this comes from IDW. This is The Sword of Ages, number one, written by Gabriel Rodriguez with art and a cover by Gabriel Rodriguez, who you will recognize as one of the co-creators of Lock and Key, which was an amazing comic series. The Sword of Ages is about a young woman who will become the first wielder of the most famous sacred weapon of all time to champion for her world's survival, inspiring a legion of heroes to join her struggle against a merciless alien force. The line between science fiction and magic might get fuzzy, but the line between heroes and villains will be drawn in blood. I'm going to give this a shot because I really enjoyed Lock and Key, and I'm hoping it kind of captures that same magic that that was in that series. So I'm looking forward to this. This comes out in November 22nd. It's about $3.99. So if you're interested in that, check that out in the IDW section of previews.
Hey guys, it's Martin with Cosmic Times, and I am on page 150 of the previews catalog in the IDW section. I don't know where this book came from or what it is or any much about it, but this Sword of Ages book looks great. I love some science fiction mixed with sword and the sorcery stuff. So this is right up my alley. The art looks crazy cool, kind of classic comics, and I am down. I am definitely adding this to my pull list. I recommend you check out Sword of Ages number one. It's $3.99 on page 150 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. All right, so I like weird stuff, okay? And stay with me. I'm on page 188, and we're looking at the Gravediggers Union number one. Now, I do not like apocalyptic stuff. I don't like that stuff. But the idea that there's a union of gravediggers just cracks me up. There's a really good story in here about a family, and it also has swamp vampires, which is great. Yay, swamp vampires. Yes, so the story and the art is by Wes Craig. The art is by Toby Cypress and Nico Guardia. So, yeah, and it looks pretty good. It's only $3.99 for 40 pages, so that's awesome. And, yeah, I plan on checking that out, so you should too. Bye!
It's Drew with a pick from Image, and this is The Beauty, number 17, written by Jeremy Hahn and Jason Hurley, with some art by Matthew Dal Smith, and the cover by Jeremy Hahn and John Roush. This is a new story arc The entirety of the solicit reads, Mr. Calaveras comes to town. So we don't have a lot of information. What they've done through these first few arcs is they've created this world where beauty is an STD that transmitted makes you beautiful, but also you can die from this. But people still want to be beautiful. What is this world? And it separates those that have beauty from those that do not have beauty. And what they've done, the creators have done, is create this world. They've built this world kind of like Astro City. They examine different aspects of it, different subsets of the population within, and tell their story. So it's not just one character throughout or one set of characters throughout. It's a new set of characters, and let's tell their story within this world of the beauty. So it's wonderful. There's definitely an image first of this that you can check out, the first issue for $1. The first trade is very reasonable. Check that out for like probably 10, 12 bucks. And you can just hop on here. You could hop on at the beginning of this new story arc. You get it. You get what this world is. Then enjoy a tale being told within that world. It's wonderful stuff. This comes out November 8th. It's $3.99 comic. So check out The Beauty, number 17, from Image Comics.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick in this month's previews comes in the Skybound part of the Image section with Invincible number 142, story by Robert Kirkman, art and cover by Ryan Ottley and Nathan Fairbairn. This issue is scheduled to be published on November 15th, 40 pages, full color for mature readers for $3.99. The End of All Things, Part 10. Robot War, Part 1 of 1. Holy crap! Every corner of Earth is ravaged by the war between Mark Grayson and Robot. The fate of the Earth hangs in the balance. Oversized issue. All caps. It's kind of sad that this series, once this issue is released, we'll only have two more issues to go. So at the end of the year, the beginning of 2018, the Invincible series will come to a final end. I will miss how Invincible explores the superhero genre in a fun and scary and interesting way, because the creative team is not afraid to do anything and everything to these characters. The only thing I'm sure of is, while I'll be very sad when I pick up the last issue, I know it will be a fun, interesting read, and I will not have imagined how they are going to end this series. Back to you, John.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Lazarus X plus 66, number 5, from Image Comics. Lazarus X plus 66 is the spin-off of Greg Rucka's ongoing Lazarus series. Greg Rucka and artist Michael Lark decided to put the ongoing series on pause while Michael Lark decided to take a break, and what we're getting is a six-part mini-series that focuses on some key individuals who have appeared in the Lazarus series so far. I have read issues 1 and 2 of this miniseries. I've enjoyed them a lot. I will say that the artwork varied from issue 1 to issue 2. There are different artists working on all 6 of these issues. One of the reasons why I wanted to highlight this issue is because of the artist Bilquis Evely. She worked with Greg Rucka on his run on Wonder Woman. I really enjoyed her artwork. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. In addition, this issue of Lazarus X plus 66 focuses on Sarah Cooper. She's a media reporter that periodically appears in the title. It'll be interesting to see them kind of flesh out her character. Again, I wanted to highlight this issue because of the artwork and the character that's being spotlighted in this issue. Lazarus X plus 66, number 5, can be found on page 219 of the preview spotlight.
Hello, this is Alien Al again with my third pick in this month's previews. This time I'm in the image section on page 222, and my pick is Paper Girls, number 17, story by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Cliff Chang and Matt Wilson, cover by Cliff Chang. It comes out November 1st, full color, 32 pages, for only $2.99. At last, the Paper Girls learn what the hell is going on. By Eisner Award-winning writer Brian K. Vaughan and artist Cliff Chang, with colors by 2017 Eisner Award-winning colorist Matt Wilson. So I guess that was a very short solicit, and they didn't want to give too much away. But I've been enjoying the story so far. I've been enjoying kind of breaking the codes and trying to understand new languages presented in the story. And really, really enjoying the Cliff Chang art. So after he came to this book from Wonder Woman, I was really happy. I'm looking forward to Paper Girl 17. I hope you do too. And that's all for this pick. On to the next pick. Thank you.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 3. It's Captain America number 695, written by Mark Waid, art by Chris Samnee. Now, the reason why I'm picking up this issue is because Mark Waid and Chris Samnee have restored Captain America back to his original glorious costume and shield. Now, I remember the first time, you know, I read Mark Waid's work on Captain America. It was back in 1996. Mark Waid was supposed to have closed out the series before the Heroes Reborn had started up. However, to me, Mark Waid wrote some of the best Captain America stories during the 10-issue run. You know, now I look forward to seeing what he and Chris Samnee are going to do with Captain America in this current run. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Captain America number 695. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Brawlinator, I'm back in Marvel for the first time in a long time. It's my first pick is on page 2. It's Captain America 695. Cap is one of my favorite characters, and the Eisner Award-winning team of writer Mark Waid and artist Chris Samnee will be taking over the series this month, with Steve Rogers back in the title role, getting back in touch with Captain America and learning how people perceive Captain America in light of the events of Secret Empire. The solicit reads, Home of the Brave Part 1 begins, and Steve Rogers is back in action in the red, white, and blue. Steve begins a journey across America to restore his tarnished reputation, and the dangers he encounters along the way are unlike any he's faced before. If you shied away from Nazi or Hydra Cap and his secret empire, Marvel is promising that this is something of a back-to-basics approach to the character, the Steve Rogers that we all know and love. I'll give it a shot, and man, Chris Samnee's artwork is spot on. This looks great. Check it out. Again, it's on page 2 of the Marvel previews. You can't miss it.
I'll be honest, my next pick kind of surprised me a little bit. On page 8 of the Marvel previews is Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 13. I've been kind of enjoying it, but not loving the series so far, but what really caught my attention here, they're jumping the series 8 years later. So instead of dealing with Peter Parker, his wife Mary Jane, who's got powers through some armor and whatnot, it kind of allows her to tap into Peter's powers and stuff, and her getting used to all of that, their young daughter, Annie, is a hero spinneret, or whatever I think is the name she'd been using, and she's learning how to be a hero as a young kid or whatever. But now, I find it more interesting for them to jump 8 years later, and I know often I complain, oh, they've skipped over a good part of the story, but I think it'll be more fun to see this as a functional family, something Peter historically has not had, with all of them having potentially years of experience as heroes, and, you know, presumably being able to rely on one another in and out of costume. And I think Annie becomes a more interesting character at that kind of, you know, high school age, potentially college age sort of thing. I forget how old she is now, but anyways, it makes her interesting. Also a little redundant with the MC2 Mayday Parker, who was Spider-Girl. I'd love to see that character kind of show up in this series at some point. But I want to see where they go, resetting the status quo 8 years later, letting the characters age, get a little bit more mature, and work past some of the stuff they've been dealing with so far. Like the costume designs, looks like an interesting title, and I think it clearly sets it apart from the other Spider-Man titles of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man, Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, the Miles Morales Spider-Man, they recently ended Spider-Man 2099 series, etc. This is Spider-Man family in a very real sense. I don't know that I would have kept the name Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, but they have, so we'll live with that. Issue 13 of Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows should be a good jumping on point. It's on page 8 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out.
It's Drew with my pick from Marvel, and it is Moon Knight number 188. This is part of the Legacy line. They took the previous 8 volumes of Moon Knight, added them all up, and got 188. So the last few volumes have gone about 12 issues. So if this one does 12 issues, well, we'll get to 200. And then we'll be able to celebrate that. That'll be fun. I'm a big Moon Knight fan, so I'm excited about this. And this one features writing by Max Bemis and art and a cover by Jason Burroughs. Max Bemis has done some work on Crossed, as has Jason Burroughs, which I've really enjoyed. Max Bemis also did The Last X-Man on Earth. I really enjoyed that series. He's done a few other things that have been really fun things I've enjoyed a lot. And I think he's also the lead singer of a pop punk band. The name is escaping me currently. So, oh yeah, it's Say Anything. The name of the band is Say Anything, which was a band I really like. So I can't believe I couldn't place the name. Doggone it. But yeah, so comic book writer, pop punk, lead singer, kind of cool. Jason Burroughs did some beautiful art in Providence with Alan Moore over at Avatar. So really cool creative team. I'm excited about it. Of course, I love Smallwood and Brian Wood and Smallwood and Jeff Lemire and their runs. The Declan Shalvey run was great. And they've had some really, really solid creative teams on this character. And from a sales point of view, they've just never taken hold. But this one might be the magic formula. So this is called Crazy Runs in the Family. A new day is dawning. And with it comes an enemy unlike any that Mark Spector Moon Knight has ever faced. Moon Knight has always been a protector from the shadows, but this new enemy is looking to extinguish that shadow with blinding light and fire. Get ready for the introduction of Moon Knight's greatest nemesis. So, a new villain, even. So, that's kind of exciting. Plus, it includes 3 bonus Marvel primer pages. I don't know what those are or what that is, but you get 3 of them, so that's nice. This will come out November 8th for $3.99, and I am super psyched. One of the few legacy titles that I think Marvel got the math right on. So I'm psyched about this. I love this character. Longtime fan of Moon Knight. And man, I hope somebody else reads it too, so it sticks around for a little while. So please check out Moon Knight number 188 in the Marvel section of Previews.
Brawlinator again, and if you were a fan of the recent Image miniseries God Country, then you'll want to check out my next pick on page 30 of the Marvel catalog. It's from the same creative team, Donnie Cates and Jeff Shaw, and this time it's Thanos with issue number 13. Beginning here is Thanos Wins Part 1. The solicit reads, "Ask the most powerful beings in the universe how they fear the universe will end, and in their most honest moment they will answer with 2 words. Thanos wins. Now see what happens when he does. If this is anything like God Country, I expect it will be intense, beautiful, personal, and probably insane. I'm in. Check it out for yourself. Again, the solicit is on page 30.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 35. It's Not Brand Eck number 14, written by Nick Spencer, Christopher Hastings, and Jay Foskett. Art by Jay Foskett and Goody Hero and a new artist at Marvel called Moore. That's it. Artist name is Moore. So hopefully we see more of him in the near future, or more of that creator in the near future, I should say. Now, basically, Not Brand Eck is supposed to be, you know, a spoof on Marvel Comics. So the solicit reads, "Get ready to break the internet, folks, because Fortish Man is back and he's ready to..." You know what? This solicit sucks. I mean, you know, if they're supposed to be parodying themselves, you know what? I'm going to write up my own solicit. So get ready, guys. I'm going to make up my own solicit for, you know, this comic. So is Not Brand Eck the real conclusion to Nick Spencer's secret empire? How long does a decompressed Brian Michael Bendis meeting last? How come the word crisis is never used in any Marvel big events? And was the original title of Marvel's generation called Marvel's Birth Pang? Now, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Brand Eck instead of an Image brand. If you guys get a chance, pick up Brand Eck. As you guys can see, I'm having fun with this. Hopefully this issue is pretty fun. I hope it spoofs itself, Marvel Comics and so forth. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Non-Brand Eck number 14. And it's part one of one. So it only lasts one issue. So that's it. There's no other tie-ins. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
My next pick is on page 64 of the Marvel Previews. It is X-Men Blue number 16. X-Men Blue is kind of sort of a continuation of the all-new X-Men, which is kind of sort of a continuation of the all-new X-Men's previous volume, which featured the all-original X-Men having been pulled forward in time by the current-day Beast. He pulled his younger version, the younger Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman, and Angel forward, and they kind of got stuck there. And this issue, which starts the Cross Time Capers Part 1, asks the question of what do you get when you mix 5 time-displaced teens, a time machine, and 1 fractured timeline? You get impromptu time cops. Because that's exactly what these all-original, all-time-displaced X-Men, I suppose, should be? I don't know. It seems like a different direction to go and kind of avoids them dodging the question of, well, are they ever going to do anything with these people being time-displaced? And if they have a time machine, but they can't get back to their own time, but they can travel to other times, that gets a little confusing in and of itself. But they've been doing some fun stuff with these characters, and I think this is an interesting direction to take them in as kind of time anomalies themselves to police other time anomalies seems somehow very fitting. I don't know that this will last more than the story arc or not, but it sounds interesting. Sounds like a good direction. I think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's X-Men Blue number 16 on page 64 of the Marvel Previews. Like I said, check it out.
Hi there, this is Alien Al in Japan with my 4th pick from this month's previews. This time I'm in the Marvel catalog on page 77, and my pick is Astonishing X-Men number 5, written by Charles Soule, artist and colorist Ramon Rosanas. The life of X continues. The Shadow King and Charles Xavier continue their twisted game in the astral plane, competing for the very lives of Gambit, Rogue, Old Man Logan, Phantom X, and Mystique. And back in the real world, this game is leaving lasting repercussions as Psylocke, Bishop, and Angel attempt to defend London from Shadow King's psychic attacks. With 2 of their allies fallen, can Xavier rally his X-Men for 1 final push against their foe? 32 pages for $3.99. Now, I remember really enjoying the first issue of this series, Astonishing X-Men, but I don't remember the second one very clearly, so I don't know if the quality dropped off or I just was reading too many comics last month. But I'm looking forward to the continuation of this story. That's all for this pick. On to the next pick. Thank you.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a Marvel pick for this month on page 89 of the Marvel catalog, and it's Infinity Gauntlet Box Set Slipcase. Ooh, man, this thing is just beautiful. If you're a fan of the Marvel Comics heroes, 80s, 90s, a fan of those books that put about 20 characters per panel and colorful costumes and fighting intergalactic everything in outer space and spaceships and Thanos. And this is just a beautiful looking package. Just look at that box. Infinity Gauntlet box set slipcase. And this is written by Jim Starlin and Moore, penciled by Ron Lim, George Perez, and Moore. I'm not going to read the solicit. I basically just told it all to you. It's Infinity Gauntlet. Come on, you all know what the Infinity Gauntlet is. Even if you know the movie universe, you know that everything's leading up to the Infinity War and the Infinity Gauntlet. But man, this is just so cool. It has all of these different collected books. Gauntlet Companion, Gauntlet Prologue, the Infinity Gauntlet crossovers, Infinity War crossovers. Wow, tons and tons. How many pages? 4,960 pages. This is just gorgeous for the all-time Marvel fans who just love their spandex characters and color and art and cosmic and $500. It's beautiful, $500. Well, if each of the listeners to this podcast want to just chip in for Christmas, for me, I'd be much appreciated.
Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick comes in the back half of previews on page 246 with Motor Girl number 10 from Abstract Studios. Writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. Final issue. Time has run out for Sam, who must have life-saving surgery to remove the shrapnel in her brain. But will the operation also remove her invisible companion, Mike? It's a risk this no-man-left-behind Marine may not be willing to take. Don't miss the powerful conclusion of this critically acclaimed series. 24 pages black and white, $3.99. I've been a loyal reader of Terry Moore's comic books since issue 74 of Strangers in Paradise, and I've never been disappointed by a single issue. Terry Moore knows how to advance the story with each issue, revealing the characters to us in a way so that by the end of the issue, we're a little more familiar with them, and we want to jump to the next issue to see what happens next. Well, unfortunately, this is going to be the last issue with Sam and Mike, but I'll be sure to order whatever Terry Moore will do next. I could be mistaken, but I think he's going to bring back the characters of Strangers in Paradise for at least a short series, because I think he has said he's done with long-form storytelling in comic books, and he's going to concentrate, at least for the time being, on shorter series. But whatever the case is, I'll be picking up every issue that Terry Moore publishes. Back to you, John.
Hey, everybody. It's Martin with Cosmic Times again with my second pick?
Oh, that's your second.
All right. My second pick of the month. This is Force number one. It's actually written by my good friend, Sean Pryor. I'm glad to see he's back with Action Lab again. It's a football comic. It's a comic not about superheroes, not about zombies, not about vampires, none of the usual tropes. It's a comic about football, and I think that's really cool. It's clearly set in some kind of fictional football universe, because it's not the Super Bowl, it's a Supreme Bowl. And it just sounds like a really cool concept. And like I said, I'm supporting my friend, and I'm supporting Action Lab Entertainment. It's on page 250. It's The Force Number One by Sean Pryor, and it's $3.99. Hey, do my friend a favor and check it out.
It's Drew with a pick from Alterna Comics. This is Doppelganger number one, written by Jordan Hart, with art by Emmanuel Zerkes Javier, about timid computer engineer Dennis Zimmerman, who gets his life turned inside out after a car crash leaves him with a concussion and a demon. Believing that he's hallucinating as a result of his head injury, Dennis's grip on reality fully unravels when an evil version of himself begins to torment him. This comes out November 15th and is $1.50. Of course, this is part of Alterna Comics' return to newsprint line, and those have been pretty fun, some better than others, but a really nice inclusion in the comic landscape to see people do these experiments and try to embrace a low price point. So I'm I've been supporting pretty much all the alternative comics line. I'm all in. And this is a 4-issue limited series like most of them. I'm assuming it's going to be the every other month model that the others have taken. If that sounded intriguing to you at all, check out Doppelganger, number one, from Alterna Comics in the back half of Previews.
Howdy, this is Alien Al in Japan once again with my final pick in this month's Previews. I'm back in the big catalog again on page 264. And my pick on that page is from Alterna Comics. It's Amazing Age, number 4, written by Matthew David Smith, artist Jeremy Massey and Christine Brunson, color artist Jeremy Massey. Sam, Violet, and Mike have decided to fulfill their destiny as the world's greatest heroes. But unfortunately for them, the Chosen and their roster of vile villains have other plans in mind. Don't miss out on the action-packed penultimate issue of this all-ages throwback. 32 pages, full color. This is number 405, and only for $1.50. And this is actually probably my favorite pick this month. Number one, because I've been really enjoying the story. The art is simple and clean and perfect for the story they're telling. And I had some communication with the writer after I sent a couple of letter of comments in. And another reason for getting this issue for me is that they promised that one of my letters would appear in this issue, number 4. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the story, and I'm looking forward to seeing my letter. So that's all for this month for me. That's all for this pick. And thanks, John, for letting us record and post these and putting them in the episode, and aloha!
Hey everybody, Martin with Cosmic Times again. I am now on page 264 of the Previews catalog. There is something here called the IF Anthology 2017 Crime graphic novel. IF, there was an IF Anthology before, that was a science fiction one, and my buddy Zach Bassett had a story in that book, and he has a story in this one as well. Zach actually works with us at Cosmic Times. He co-wrote the Last Decisions book we put out, and I just really want to recommend this. I like anthologies. I like having the different stories all together. I know some people, it's not their cup of tea. It's my cup of tea. It's black and white. It's 336 pages for only $14.95. You really can't beat that. It's such a good deal. And again, you're supporting a bunch of indie guys. So check out IF Anthology 2017 Crime on page 264 of the current Previews catalog. Thanks!
This is Dr. Mo with my final pick for the Previews Spotlight episode. It's Black, AF America's Sweetheart. Ellie Franklin is a 15-year-old girl living in rural Montana, and she just happens to be the most powerful person on the planet. In the aftermath of the world learning that only black people have superpowers, Ellie makes her debut as a superhero, Good Girl, on a mission to help people and quell the fear of empowered blacks. When a super terrorist threatens to take away everything Ellie has worked toward, will donning a patriotic costume be enough for her to find acceptance? Black, America's Sweetheart is a $9.99, 84-page graphic novel that is published through Black Mass Studios. This graphic novel is a spin-off of a series that was also published from Black Mass Studios called Black. Both projects share the same writer, Kwanze Osefo. Both take place in the same world, in which black people are the only ones with superpowers. Unlike the parent series, America's Sweetheart will focus primarily on a singular character, and it will also be a full color project. Part of the reason why I'm interested in this one shot graphic novel, whatever you want to call it, is because of the artwork. There are some 4 preview pages that are posted in Previews. There is also some preview pages posted on the website io9, along with an interview
that features the writer Kwanze Osefo. Kwanze also wrote the parent title Black, which was illustrated by industry veteran Jamal Eichel. I really enjoyed the world of Black a lot. I think there's a lot of space to grow. That's why I was excited when I saw that this project, America's Sweetheart, was announced. Even though it's a bit pricey, I think that it's worth taking a chance on. It is something different. If you like superheroes, it certainly plays in those same, in that same milieu. Black, America's Sweetheart, can be found on page 290 of Previews. And again, it is an 84-page, $9.99 graphic novel published by Black Mask Studios.
Hello, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month. It's on page 294 in the Boom section, and it is Kong on the Planet of the Apes, number 1 of 6 miniseries, written by Ryan Ferrier, illustrated by Carlos Magna. Now, if you've caught on to me since I've been submitting clips, I don't even know how long I've been doing it now. I know it's been over a year. You probably have caught on to me loving Planet of the Apes. Two series of movies that I grew up with as a kid, Planet of the Apes, James Bond. I've seen every one of those movies countless times. I've always loved them. So I love when comic books take the Planet of the Apes and mash them up with other stuff. Well, I didn't love it when they recently did Green Lantern and the Planet of the Apes because, A, I thought the artwork was just, it was not a good rendition of the apes, so I hated the artwork. Sorry. I try not to be too negative. And I didn't love the story either. It was just more Green Lantern than Planet of the Apes. But come on, man. Kong on the Planet of the Apes. King Kong! He's a big ape! The solicit, the damn dirty, sorry, pardon my French, crossover event you demanded. Following the events of the first Planet of the Apes film, Dr. Zaius and General Ursus lead a small group of soldiers to the Forbidden Zone to destroy any remaining evidence of Taylor's time among them. To their surprise, they discover a Kong. Now they must venture to Skull Island with Cornelius and Zira to discover the truth, but they may not survive the deadliest journey of their lives. This is a natural. Oh, Kong on the Planet of the Apes. Does Kong speak? Does he ride on a giant dinosaur with a giant rifle tucked on his back? And I can already tell from the artwork by Carlos Magna that he has drawn the apes exactly as you would want him to draw the apes. So I am excited for Kong on the Planet of the Apes. I hope I'm not the only one. Everyone, have a great month.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times again. And let me see, I think this is my, is this my second or third pick?
I don't know, I can't keep track of this stuff.
I'm sorry. Okay, so here I am, I'm in the previews catalog and I'm on page 296. Check this out, it's a two-page spread. It's by Boom and it's called Fence, number one. That's it. And it's about this little collegiate team. They're on a fencing team and their struggles. I like different things and this is a comic about fencing. How great is that? So do me a favor and go ahead and get it. It's only $3.99. It's 32 pages, but it's $3.99. And it just looks really different. It looks great. So check it out. Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. All right, so I am looking on page 308 and I'm looking at the hardcover for Snoopy. Snoopy is just a super cute dog from the Peanuts series. I loved the Peanuts growing up. I always watched The Great Pumpkin. I love the Christmas special. So I saw this and I got really excited. I thought, hey, this looks like something that might be nice to add to my collection. So check it out. It's on page 308 and it's $14.99. It's 96 pages. So yeah. See ya!
Hey guys, it's Martin with Cosmic Times again, and as I'm flipping through the catalog, I get onto page 320. Look at that! There's a listing for Cosmic Times! Sugar Boogers, issue 2 by Michael Loco Duck Duron. This is the follow-up to the smash hit first issue, which, wait a minute, You did order the first issue from your comic shop, right?
Of course they did.
Of course they did. If they didn't, they need to get out, just get up, just stop what you're doing, leave your desk, take your headphones out and run to your comic shop and make sure they put in a reorder for Sugar Boogers issue one, because issue one is where it all started and we're sending it to print in the next couple weeks. And we want to make sure that you get a copy because everybody needs a copy. Oh my gosh, now, it's great.
Wait, now did you tell them that this is issue two and this is where the saga continues?
Yes, issue two.
Did you also tell them that it's kid friendly?
Yeah, kids can read this too, just like you. Yay. So anyway, Sugar Boogers issue two. Let me read you the solicit just for fun. Okay, here we go. Sugar Boogers saga continues, just like you said.
Just like I said,
here. All right. Mysteries are revealed as Adolf Rootless moves to destroy Graham and the Gingy Ninjas with his evil band of marshmallow mutants. Will righteousness and truth win out, or will Candy Castle fall?
No.
Will the Gingy Ninjas discover the identity of the traitor in their midst before it's too late?
I can't stand it. How is this going
to
end?
I don't know. We got to get this book and find it. You folks got to get this book. Go ahead and go to your local comic shop, pre-order issue two. If you didn't get issue one, tell them you want to get issue one, because we're excited about Sugar Boogers and you should be too. Right, Heidi?
You bet. And it's only $3.99. Come on.
Come on. $3.99. Yeah, get it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sugar Boogers, issue two, page 320 of the previews catalog.
Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So stay with me here. I'm on page 355 of the previews catalog. Martin, can you turn it down a little bit?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so the reason why Martin is piping in some music here is because the comic I'm getting ready to recommend is Deepak Chopra's Beyond, the Collected Story Trade Paperback. And it is about a family that goes to India, hence the music. All right, there you go. And guess what? The mom vanishes. Where does she go? We don't know. But I imagine that this comic is probably an adventure in time and space. I have bought lots of Deepak Chopra's books. I enjoyed them. So when I saw that he was doing a comic, I thought, yay, that looks really cool. So do me a favor, check it out. It's on page 355 and it's only $12.99. And yeah, you should check it out. Martin, thank you so much for that lovely music. Do you see how hard this is sometimes? This is what I deal with on a consistent basis. So, I'm sorry. All right, anyway.
Billy Hogan again. My ninth and final pick in this month's previews comes in the back half all the way at page 381 with The Tick number 2 from New England Comics. Writer Cullen Bunn and Johnny Z. Johnston. Story and cover artists Douglas Paskowitz and Dwayne Redhead. Road trip and revelations. Traveling through the Rockies, The Tick has a date with destiny. Memories flood back. Old feelings resurface. What dark secrets will be revealed at the end of this long, strange trip? The Tick number 2 advances the plot of number 1 while also feeding the unsatisfied beast that is the Tick mythos. Amazon's The Tick show has debuted to overwhelming support. Don't get left behind on this wild and exciting new story. 32 pages full color for $3.99. I was introduced to The Tick through the Fox Kids Saturday morning cartoon in the 1990s. I've since picked up the first 12 issues done by creator Ben Edlund, and I've gotten a few other issues here and there, but I haven't collected the other titles, which are still available in collected editions from New England Comics. I have yet to see the Amazon Tick series, but I do have the DVD of the Fox short-lived live-action series that I thought was very underrated. If you're not familiar with The Tick, he's a character through which the superhero genre is spoofed in a fun way that allows you to laugh with the tropes of the comic book genre. And if you like satire or spoofs of any kind, check out The Tick number 2 from New England Comics. Back to you, John, and thanks to all of you for sharing your enthusiasm for the comic book medium through all your picks each month. I enjoy hearing them.
Hey, it's Martin again. Sadly, with my last pick of the month, but we've made it all the way to page 398 of the previews catalog, Red 5 Comics, actually. There's a spotlight on this one. It's called Chasing Hitler. And this book is about, I guess, after Hitler had capped himself, the Allies sent somebody to verify that he was actually dead, and they find out perhaps he wasn't. And now they're off to catch Hitler. So this sounds like a pretty cool book. It, you know, obviously, it's fictional, and it's set in at the end of World War II, and that's pretty cool to me. It's a four-issue miniseries. They're only $3.95 an issue as opposed to $3.99, so you're saving 4 cents right there. So check out Chasing Hitler, issue one, on page 398 of the previews catalog.
It's Drew with a pick from Scout Comics. It's Long Lost, number one, written by Matthew Ehrman, with art and a cover by Lisa Stirl. Stranger Things meets Ghost World in Long Lost, the haunting story of two estranged sisters who find themselves drawn back to their small southern hometown to unlock the disturbing mysteries that are hidden there, with all roads leading back to their enigmatic, secretive mother. Join Scout Comics as they proudly debut this compelling, harrowing journey through family relationships, childhood trauma, and southern gothic horror. Been some fun stuff coming out of Scout, so I am checking this out. I'm not familiar with the creators off the top of my head, but this comes out November 29th, and it has a price tag of $3.99. So check out Scout Comics Long Lost number one, way in the back of previews. It's Drew, and I am in Titan Comics. I'm looking at their latest offering from the Hard Case Crime line, Minky Woodcock Girl Who Handcuffed Houdini, number one. Written by Cynthia Von Bueller, with art by Cynthia Von Bueller, and a cover by David Mack. Unappreciated at her father's detective agency, the fabulous rabbit-loving Minky Woodcock straps on her gumshoes in order to uncover a magical mystery involving the world-famous escape artist, Harry Houdini. Created by acclaimed artist, author, director, and playwright Cynthia Von Bueller. That's where you know her from. Speakeasy Dollhouses, Evelyn, Emily, and the Strangers. Yeah, I'm not familiar with those. This comes out November 8th. It is $3.99, and I am batting 1,000 on these hard case crime books. Loved every one of them. They've all been really good. They've all been a little different. They've all been noir and crime-filled and fun. So if you've enjoyed any of those, Normandy Gold, I think, is the latest. Good stuff. Check those out. It's in the Titan section, all the way in the back of previews. And I'll be getting all my back half comics, all my super rare incentive variant tiers, my B cover, C covers, and all my wonderful pre-ordered comics from the good folks at Cowabunga Comics in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. So check them out. Oh, they're online. If you're looking for an LCS, they can hook you up till next month. Thanks, John, for giving us a wonderful place to share some of the great stuff that's coming out each and every month in our beloved comics industry.
My next and final pick is on page 414. It's Rivers of London, Cry Fox number 1 of 4. This is by Titan Comics. It's got the writers of Andrew Cartmell and Ben Aronovich, artists of Lee Sullivan and Luis Guerrero, which is, I'm pretty sure, the same creative team that was behind the Rivers of London detective stories that just really won me over with that first issue. I've since chased down issues of Volume 1 of Bodywork, Volume 3 of Black Mold, Volume 2 of Nightwitch is still eluding me, and it's funny because I think actually when I was going to Comic-Con and Sam took me to a comic shop, they had these issues. The covers were so confusing, I wasn't sure if they were the ones I needed or not. So I still got to hunt down some issues of that or just maybe get the trade. I'd rather get the individual issues. Anyways, this is something that I read one issue of and said, I must have all of this. At some point, I'll even go chase down the actual novels and try to find time to read those. Fun series of what do cops... I mean, it basically takes a primetime police drama and says, yep, we've got crimes to solve. And oh, by the way, magic exists. Most people don't really know that or acknowledge that or can deal with it, but it does, and it makes for some bizarre crimes. So there's a handful of cops in London that have to deal with it, and this is the story of those officers. I really like the art style. I really like the story. I think it's definitely worth checking out. Hopefully this is a good jumping on point for this mini series. Once again, that's Rivers of London, Cry Fox, number one from Titan Comics on page 414. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So a few months ago, I went ahead and I recommended The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And guess what? The Girl Who Played with Fire. So book number two is out in comic trade paperback edition. So I'm excited about that. It also got a spotlight. Yay, that's kind of cool. So check it out. The Girl That Played with Fire, Millennium Volume 2. It's on page 420 of the previews catalog. And you get this amazing story. And not just the words, but also the pictures to go along with it. So that's pretty awesome. So check it out. Elizabeth Salander, she doesn't disappoint. And I'm sure she's going to continue to just to wow and excite everybody. It's a really, really good story. So check it out. Hey guys, it's Heidi from Cosmic Times. All right, I'm on page 455 of the previews catalog, and the spotlight is on A Polar Bear in Love. I love this. This is the cutest thing. I cannot wait to take a look at this. I like different things, and this just stood out. It's probably a very basic story. Polar bear falls in love with a seal. The seal thinks the polar bear is trying to eat it. Literally, that's what it's about. But I just think it's going to be great, and I can't wait to share this with my kids. So again, it's on page 455, and it's $15. And guess what? It's all ages, which I love. I can share it with my kids. There needs to be more of that. And yeah, so check it out. Yay, it's so cute.
Brawlinator for one more shot. It's my final pick this month, all the way back on page 461 of the previews catalog at the end of the Zenoscope Entertainment section. It's Sci-Fi and Fantasy Illustrated 2017, the one-shot number one. The solicit reads, as technology advances at a blinding speed, humans are becoming more and more intertwined with it and the electronic devices that connect us to it. A new age of technology is upon us, and while many of the benefits that come with it are good for mankind, there is a dark side to this evolution. The lines between what is real and what is virtual are becoming blurred, and the consequences for our species may be more horrible than we can imagine. It's been a little more than 7 years since the last sci-fi and fantasy one-shot, so I expect that with that much time they've had to prepare, this might actually be pretty good. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 461 of this month's previews catalog. Thanks again, John, and everyone on this month's episode. I'm really looking forward to hearing everyone else's picks. I'll see you in the forums.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at the amazing Hawaii Comic Con, and today is the last day of the convention. And I'm here with Jimmy J, one of the co-organizers of the amazing Comic Con. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm sitting here in the lobby. We're having a great conversation as the Sunday is just starting. And it's interesting to see. We're seeing a lot of actually artists that are making their way to their tables right now. So I'm sure they got their morning beach time in. It looks like, you know, I'm seeing like their wives wearing their swimsuits underneath their, you know, their shorts and t-shirts and their flip-flops. So, you know, it looks like, you know, they're getting the best of both worlds. And of course, from Mainlander, I mean, you know, that's going to be a great attraction. But the biggest attraction are the fans here. I mean, they're hardcore fans, extremely knowledgeable, and, you know, thirsty for pop culture. And so we're really pleased, I mean, just their enthusiasm and just being around them, you know, as much as possible.
Can we just talk a little bit about Las Vegas? I know we started the summer with Las Vegas. I'm sorry what happened with Adam West, but you brought in big name stars for the convention. How was that?
Absolutely. And it was great having the podcast right in the beginning of summer. I mean, we definitely reviewed what was going to go on in Las Vegas, and that turned out to be one of the biggest events that we've ever thrown with amazing comic conventions. Certainly our biggest in Las Vegas, and it's poised to grow in 2018. That show's going to return next June as well, at the end of June. But this last year, it was tough because right before the convention opened, I mean, like within a week, 10 days, was the passing of Adam West. And I mean, what was difficult is that we're huge fans of Batman 66. who wanted to be respectful to his family, as well as, I mean, his good friends from Burt Ward, you know, on down, you know, and we're trying to be respectful. If they wanted to come on out to the show, you know, it was welcome to them. If they wanted to turn it down, we could understand that too. And it turned into be this big Batman 66 celebration led by Burt Ward, who brought both both of the Catwomans. And so we had Julie Newmar and
Lee Merriweather.
Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. So and they played up for the crowd. They were fantastic. We had a few last minute additions, like we had Peter Mayhew,
you
know, original Chewbacca, came on out. So we had a really big Star Wars event between him and Ray Park. And of course we had, you know, the best comic guest list around. I mean,
yes.
And because we had Stan Lee, mm-hmm. we had created the Marvel Universe, we had Rob Liefeld, who's the Deadpool creator, and Todd McFarlane. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the nice thing is that some of those great names made it to Hawaii with us this season. So, yes. You know, Todd McFarlane was one of our big headliners here in mm-hmm. Hawaii. So he signed all day on Friday and Saturday, and he went above and beyond signing mm-hmm. for everybody for free. Absolutely free. Didn't take a penny. Was out here for the fans, and he was great. The other big headliner we have was William Shatner. Yes. He got into town yesterday, which was on Saturday, and is appearing appeared all day Saturday, as well as he's appearing all day Sunday here at the show. I'm looking forward to his big general admission panel that's going to take place pretty much to close out the event. But I mean, having these icons of pop culture come to town is something you know, that people thought never could be done in Hawaii, you know, let alone, you know, Honolulu. And well, we were able to buck all those trends mm-hmm. and bring out the best.
Yes.
People thought it would be too expensive. People thought the fans wouldn't dig mm-hmm. it, and we were proving them wrong time. And we're excited about it.
And you also brought down most of the cast from The Next Generation, which is incredible. Yeah.
Absolutely. William Shatner was just the tip of the iceberg with adding a big media component this year. We knew that the fans of Hawaii really dug Star Trek, but I mean, who doesn't? So, but William Shatner is the biggest name, but then we're able to pull the 30th anniversary mm-hmm. of Star Trek The Next Generation. So we had the entire, you know, pretty much the entire cast of the show join us. They've been fantastic. Who was actually my favorite interaction that I've had throughout mm-hmm. the cast was Brent Spiner.
Yes.
Was funny, charming, great. I mean, people have raved about LeVar Burton, but I mean, everybody, you know, everybody from Michael Dorn to Marina Sirtis mm-hmm. to Gates McFadden, they've all been fantastic with fans. Who have been huge is, we mentioned Ray Park before, yes. but mm-hmm. Alan Tudyk
yes.
Joined us. So he was K2SO from Rogue One and really stole the show there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he has credits galore from
yes.
mm-hmm. being in a ton of Disney movies. Mm-hmm. And he thrilled fans yesterday on stage.
Aww.
He was giving out random gifts.
Oh,
he asked
my
a
God.
Question. No, but when I say they were...
no, yeah. No.
When I was saying random gifts, I mean, like, he would autograph his, you know... macadamia nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He would and give them out to the fans. He would autograph a receipt he had from Rogue's Woman. He would autograph. I mean, different. I mean, they were so random, mm-hmm. but it really got the crowd going, and it was a blast, absolute blast. So, so he was great, and my big surprise was Jason David Frank.
Yeah,
Tommy the Green mm-hmm. Ranger. I mean, I knew he was big. I mean, but I mean, literally. 25 plus years of mm-hmm. Ranger fans came out to support this guy. Great on social media, great mm-hmm. on pumping up the crowds.
Yes.
And standing room only crowds that were checking out his Bloodshot video mm-hmm. and his other work, his training videos. And he is truly the same guy you see on stage is the guy that you're going to see at the booth,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be the same guy that you're going to meet on the street.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a lot of fun, has a lot of energy, and I think it's just a real positive force for all fandom.
And I can back that up, man. He had long lines for his autograph. That was great. And also, let's talk about the comic book artists. Chad Harden, Jason Fabok, they're really nice. They're great, too, yeah. So you want to comment about that, the other artists, too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, which has always been the backbone of Amazing Comic Convention is that we believe that all pop culture starts with the comic book. So, you know, to that extent, I mean, we brought in key creators. We mentioned Todd McFarlane. Chris Claremont returned.
Yes.
Fans really enjoyed. Chad Harden has been to each of our events in the past year, and he has a huge Hawaii fan following that I think you're going to follow him, you know, project to project. And Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for all the returning stars. Now, what we did add, which was great, was Jason Fabok. He's hot off the Batman Flash crossover called The Button, which also ties in the Watchmen characters into the DC Universe. And, you know, that was a huge book this spring, and, you know, he is definitely the talent to watch at DC Comics. He's the young, hot guy. And I think that's important, is ushering in, you know, a new generation of fans and fandom, along with the new generation of comic superstars. And definitely Jason fits that bill.
Yeah, he does. And also, too, you know what I love, Jimmy, that you also, how do I say, cater to each location. Like in Las Vegas, you had those car people that came, they did the cars. And here in Hawaii, you brought Stacy Hashimoto, the 442nd comic book manga one-shot story.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's no cookie-cutter approach with putting on comic conventions. It's not a one-size-fits-all. You need to reflect the communities. So in Las Vegas, we definitely had we had a car show going on inside of our Comic-Con with muscle cars and Jeeps that all fit, you know, the Spawn themes, as well as the Batmobile that tied in with Batman 66. So that was all great. I mean, it was a great visual feast, you know, for the fans there. But, you know, Hawaii's a little bit different, you know, and so, you know, with different resources and different tastes and different flavors. So Stacy, I mean, I think she represents a lot. She is the writer of 442, Go For Broke. Started out as a chibi ashcan comic that is going to be a feature film that she's produced and put together. And it's an amazing story of a World War II story of, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese residents that were born here in Hawaii, as well as that were immigrants that were fresh off the boat. Her words, not mine, all came together to become the most elite military unit and decorated military unit in World War II. As what I think is just so inspiring, and I got choked up talking to you earlier about this. It's just such a great example of what people can do when they put their minds to it. You know, it's them coming together from all different backgrounds for a greater purpose. I mean, and I think we can do that in every single aspect of our own lives, whether it's our family, or how we approach our jobs, how we approach school. And it definitely invigorated us with and inspired us at Amazing Comic Conventions, because that's exactly what we try to do. Is, you know, bring together all different, you know, different types of fandom and do something that's bigger than ourselves. Now, we're not as heroic as soldiers in World War II. I'm not trying to make that connection. But I think it's a great example of, you know what, putting your past aside, you know, and serving that greater good. Yes. And, you know, I'd like to try to think that we do that with Amazing.
How has the convention been for you?
The convention's been great. I mean, it's Sunday, and we have loads of people walking in.
Yes,
you know, families, cosplayers, you know, that are still, you know, they're buying their tickets at the door. And I think that's a fantastic sign. People love this Comic-Con flavor, and they like the flavor that we're serving. I mean, I think that becomes synonymous with Amazing Comic-Con, as opposed to different other smaller shows in Hawaii, is that we bring out the best of the best. So if you want the best comic book artists, you know, you see folks like Todd McFarlane, you'll see him here. If you want the best media guests like William Shatner and Jason David Frank and Ray Park and Alan Tudyk, you're going to see them here. If you want to see the best anime, we have the voice actors, the two leads from Attack on Titan.
Yes.
And I don't think that there's any show, you know, in Hawaii, in Honolulu, you know, that brings out this caliber of talent. I mean, so whatever we focus on, you know, we want to bring out the best of the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, to that extent, I mean, we're seeing this, all this great, you know, cosplay action, you know, here in the lobby and also on the convention floor and at the contest last night. But we have the world famous Jessica Negri,
yes,
who's here, and mm-hmm. She's debuting new costumes, new photo mm-hmm. shoots that she's taking on the island, you know, that are just, I mean, very intricate, quite amazing, mm-hmm. and you know, it's all next level.
Yes.
And once again, it just shows that with amazing, we always want to yes. bring out the best yeah. of the best, and that's our goal.
And you know what, Jessica is very fun to talk to. She really, I've seen her engaged with the fans. She's really great. I mean, she's really awesome. Thank you for bringing her down.
You know, yeah. Jessica's the real deal. She's more than just some pinup model, you know, that, you know, you Google over on the internet. She's a fan just mm-hmm. like us, and she's here to hang out with the fans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important, you know, part of her brand and what she's all about. And that's an important thing at Amazing Comic Con, is that we're all in this together. I mean, this started out on our Thursday night mm-hmm. pre-party yes. part, you know, our pre-party pickup, badge pickup party mm-hmm. that we had is at the Mai Tai Bar. And it was nice because you had a great mix between, you know, our established guests, mm-hmm. you know, guys in the artist alley, mm-hmm. you know, the fans. And I think everything blurred together. And I think that was a good sign because, you know what? We're all fans. We're all geeks. Yes. We're all nerds.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And it's great to be around, you know, all people celebrating the same things that you do mm-hmm. and still cherish the pop culture like you do. And, that's our goal.
Yes. You know what, Jimmy, I'm going to wrap this up because, man, you've been like, I know for the last 4 days you've been talking. I know you're starting to lose your voice. Any last words?
You know, no last words. I mean, just other than, you know what, this is a blast and I absolutely love doing this. You know, it's I'm very thankful for the fans. We wouldn't be doing it without the fans, and, you know, that's why we're here. So thanks so much, and thanks for spending the time and letting us get the message out. Hopefully we'll see, you know, some of your listeners over mm-hmm. at
yes.
Amazing Hawaii Comic Con in the future. It's coming back in August 2018. Or if they want to go to the Ninth Island in
yes.
In Las Vegas. Is our events in June. Thanks so much.
Jimmy, before you go, I just want to say, you know, a few words. Again, thank you for bringing the Amazing Comic Con, Star Trek, the Next Generation cast, because I noticed in the last, you know, 4 days, you know, a cross-section of, you know, men, women, boys and girls, but not only that, but I mean, we're looking at, you know, guys our age or even like, you know, people in their 60s or 70s coming out just to see, you know, the guest stars that you brought down, you know.
Absolutely. And I guess the last thing I will say is that it's important to also showcase the biggest stars in the world next to also the best local talent, because I think both sides raise each other up. And it's something, again, what we're about with Amazing. And, you know, it's coming together and making one event that's bigger than any of its single parts altogether. The sum is so far greater. So thanks so much. And you know what? If you want to find out more about our events, www.amazingcomiccon.com. No funky spelling. You can find out about Las Vegas. You can find out about Hawaii. Also, if you want to see a ton of pictures, our Instagram and our Twitter account is @AmazingComicCon. And we hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you. One more thing, Jimmy. I just want to say again, man, great customer service. You're there Thursday night. You're hands-on. I see you walking the floors. I remember Friday, you know, before the doors open, again, you're always visible. That, you know, just that really speaks volume. Thank you for that. And Jimmy, you know, thank you for sitting down, taking the time out of your busy schedule today.
Absolutely. We're all in this together. You have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right. Thanks, guys. Until next time. Aloha.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm just doing my shout-out clip for this month's Preview Spotlight episode. And my shout-out goes to the Amazing Comic-Con organizers, Jimmy and Bill J and Ben Gilbert. You know, the Amazing Hawaii Comic-Con, you know, was from August 25th to August 27th. You know, and I want to give a big shout-out, a big mahalo to Jimmy J, you know, for taking his time, you know, out of his busy schedule to do two interviews with me. The first one was back in May of this year, And then the last interview was done literally on the last day of the convention, Sunday, August 27th. And I also want to give a big shout out to Ben Gilbert. You know, Ben was, you know, walking the floors all 3 days of the convention. You know, I could, you know, everywhere I looked, I could see Ben walking the floors. You know, he was helping out, coordinating things. He was also helping out at the ticket booths. So, you know, like I said, a big shout out to Ben. And also Jimmy J was also walking the floors for all 3 days. He was helping out at the ticket booths. He was, you know, checking to see how, you know, people were doing. So that was pretty awesome. This convention was awesome. You know, it really was. You know, Jimmy and his gang, you know, they brought down, you know, big names, you know, from pop culture events. You know, I mean, we're talking like William Shatner. William Shatner was very cool to talk to. You know, they brought down most of the cast from The Next Generation. You know, Brent Spiner and Marina Sirtis, they were great to talk to. They were very fun to talk to. They really were. Gates McFadden, LeVar Burton, they were awesome to talk to. Michael Dorn was pretty cool too as well. You know, also too, Jason David Frank, he was awesome with the fans. Now, I'm not a Power Ranger fan, but, you know, but whenever I took a look at Jason David Frank's line, it was always long. He took the time to talk to them, to take pictures with them. You know, I think that's pretty awesome. And also, too, you know, Jimmy and his gang also brought down some Star Wars actors, too. You know, Ray Park. Ray Park was pretty cool to talk to. Alan Tudyk, you know, Alan Tudyk was awesome to talk to. You know, Alan Tudyk took the time to talk to each one of us, you know, waiting in line to get his autograph. I mean, he really took, you know, a few moments, you know, to talk to us, you know, see how we're doing. You know, we talked to him about, you know, what we liked about, you know, what movies or what shows we liked about. So that was pretty cool, too. That was really awesome. And of course, this is a comic book convention. So Jimmy and the gang, they brought down, you know, the top creators, top creators like legendary artist and writer Todd McFarlane. Todd McFarlane was awesome to talk to. You know, legendary artist Rick Hoberg, you know, he was the original cover artist, if I remember correctly, from the Star Wars series from Marvel back in the late 70s. And also, you know, Rick Hoberg also drew some of the Star Wars newspaper strips back in the late 70s, early 80s. And also, too, you know, legendary X-Men writer Chris Claremont. He was pretty awesome to talk to. And also David Michelinie as well, too. You know, they were pretty awesome to talk to. And also up-and-coming artists like Jason Fabok. He was awesome to talk to. He was really nice. You know, also to Island favorite artist Chad Harden. You know, Chad Harden, you know, thank you very much for doing the Harley Quinn clip. You know, thank you very much. She was pretty awesome to talk to. Really nice. And also too, you know, Jessica Nigiri, she was very sweet. You know, she is a true fangirl. You know, like I said, man, she was awesome to talk to. You know, so if you guys see her at a convention, you know, stop by to say hi to her. Matter of fact, you know, if you see Jason Fabok, Chad Harden, you know, stop by their tables and say hi to them as well. So, you know, next year's convention, the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con 2018 is going to be from August 24th to August 26th. Again, the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con 2018, it would be on August 24th to August 26th at the Hawaii Convention Center. So, you know, if you guys are planning to come to this event, convention, you know, you guys have about a year away to start planning. You know, and like I said, this year's convention, it was awesome. It was really great. You know, it was crowded enough, you know, where the convention looked very lively. It was, you know, rich with, you know, pop culture stars and also two pop culture fans from every, you know, age group. That was pretty awesome. There really was, you know, so, you know, like I said, this not only was this convention awesome, you know, but also too, it was, to me, just the right size. Now, I've never been to any of the major conventions in the mainland, but I think, you know, the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con convention is just the right size where, you know, we can go to the artists, you know, not only get their autographs, but at least take a few minutes to talk to them. And if we want to, and if they're willing to, you know, take a picture with them as well. So that's pretty cool too. So, you know, again, like I said, next year, the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con for 2018 will be held on August 24th. To August 26th at the Hawaii Convention Center. I'm planning to go to that convention for all 3 days. And matter of fact, I'm saving up my money right now. So, you know, again, a big shout out to Jimmy and his crew. Jimmy, thank you very much. You know, and to everyone, thank you very much for listening to my clips and my interviews. Thank you very much. You know, I look forward to hearing everyone's recommendations from this month's Preview Spotlight episode. And until next time, everyone, aloha.
Hopefully everybody found stuff that they are interested in this time around. Tons of great picks. I added one or two things to my list while going through editing the episode, specifically Fence number one. That had escaped my interest, but the art looks terrific and the story looks interesting. So I'm going to check that first issue out, see if it's a book for me or not. One thing people should be aware of with the Marvel Legacy titles, a lot of which started up this month, they get a new series code. And what that means is if your store has an automated pull and hold system, a lot of those, not all of them, many of them are based on the series code. This is why sometimes they will not pull like an annual or a one-shot like the Monsters Unleashed a while back, stuff like that. But they'll get the regular issues of the monthly stuff. With the Marvel Legacy stuff, they've assigned new series code for most of those, if not all of those titles. So that could cause a little bit of a bump in the road for some pull system software. If you want to keep getting some of these titles, if you're getting some different ones than you were getting before, dropping some, adding some, let your store know. That way they're not kind of caught short or whatever. I always go in the theory the more information the store has about what you want, the more likely you are to get what you want. It's the whole reason we do these preview spotlight episodes during the pre-order cycle. That's when I think it's the most effective. Hopefully it's actually helping out and boosting some sales on some titles. Anecdotally, I know that it is because I've picked up some stuff, if nothing else. One of the thank everybody who's contributed: Alan, Billy, Chris, Drew, Heidi, Jason, Martin, Mo, Nathan, and Todd. Episode would have been a lot shorter without you guys. Great clips, a lot of fun stuff. Thanks for sending that in. The comic book page teleconference, as this episode goes up, will be this Saturday, September 16th, 2017. I toss the year in there in case people are listening to this wonderful episode, you know, decades or centuries later. We're going to do that teleconference 7 p.m. Central. We do it on Skype. There's information on the comic book page forum as to how to get on. It's really pretty easy. You just send me a text message on Skype. If you haven't communicated with me on Skype before, I've got to have your contact information, so you need to send me that first. But then on that Saturday evening, you just say, hey, I'm available. Is the call going or whatever? If it is, I'll pull you into the conversation. If it's not, I'll start the call up and we'll start talking. The agenda, as always, is whatever comes up, be it talk about comics, movies, television shows, conventions, whatever. It's always a lot of fun. Different group of people sometimes from month to month, but I always enjoy those discussions. The next previews is going to get released, I believe, on September 27th. What that means is the deadline for the next preview spotlight clips is Saturday morning, October 7th, bright and early that morning, or as early as I get up. You guys are doing a great job of sending the stuff in early. That is a huge help. Thank you for doing that, and also posting on the forum what you're going to send in clips on. The reason it's important to put the stuff on the forum is not only to cut down on duplicates, but that way I've kind of got a checklist to make sure all the clips I get actually make it into the episode. I actually almost missed two or three this time around, including one of my own, which is just kind of silly. But, you know, again, sending in the clips early gives me a little bit more time to prep the show notes, the checkoff list, all of that kind of stuff, clean up the audio a little if I need to. Drew, of course, gets his in almost the minute, you know, previews is you know, not even when it's coming out, before it's coming out. He's lightning fast on this. It's excellent. Jason's pretty quick on his too. And of course, Brawlinator, thank you for posting all the links on the forum and stuff. I appreciate how all you guys are kind of helping out on this and keeping this going. There's just a ton of comics out there, and getting the clips, getting information about the solicits and stuff like that, I think it's a huge help, both for me personally, but also for the listeners and everybody in general, including the publishers and creators of the comics. The next comic book page teleconference, like I said, will be September 16th. The one after that is scheduled for October 14th, 7 p.m. Central Time. And again, every month we pop on Skype, we chat, and talk about what we talk about. I found a ton of stuff in previews this time around. Pretty much the same basic split. About a third Marvel, about a third DC, about a third of everything else. Still have quite a few things that are up in the air as to do I continue with them or not. But I just need to read the first issue or so of a few titles and make some decisions. With that, I think we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.